Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Greg Pickle here with me. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We've got some news to recap you on, including, as Greg would put it, one of the more surprising occurrences of the James Franklin era from this past weekend slash last week slash Thursday. Greg couldn't remember his timeline, so I'm trying to cover all bases here.
Thank you for that.
Sean Spencer to the New York Giants. We'll talk about that. We'll also put James Franklin, his era, his tenure here at Penn State, his hiring history, the coaches that have come, the coaches that have gone, how he's managed to fill positions, and how successful he's been in doing so, because this is another big one coming, one that a lot of us didn't see coming. We'll continue talking Penn State basketball. Jeff Brown's going to join us a little bit later, and we're going to take a little deeper look at Sean Spencer's impact at Penn State. Some of the guys that have come through here, which if you put the whole body of work into perspective, just some impressive things. Not a lot of guys who arrived as stars. Pretty much everybody got better under his watch, and I think that's something that people remember him for as much as all the production, which that's a whole nother thing. So, Sean Spencer, the Giants, to what degree did this surprise you, Greg?
I would say I almost broke my neck when I was turning around to go from walking outside with the dog back to my computer because I couldn't believe it. I mean, so we've seen Brent Pry's name linked to other jobs. Obviously, some of the hires James Franklin has made recently, they've looked for other opportunities or at least have been linked to other jobs. So it's not a real surprise when that happens. But for Sean Spencer, a guy who he may have been linked to one other job during his six years at Penn State. I seem to vaguely recall writing a story about and talking here about him maybe being a candidate for somewhere else. But really, it always felt like he was going to either leave Penn State to become a defensive coordinator or just stay at Penn State. So the fact that he makes a jump, not to be a defensive coordinator somewhere, not for, you know, a bigger title or a bigger role at the college level, but to the pros is just really interesting to me. And I can only think, Dustin, that fairly or unfairly, somebody may have said to him, you know, if you really want to be a defensive coordinator, you have to have some NFL background on your resume because you've been just a defensive line coach for so long. Maybe that has something to do with it. Again, we know that his daughter's in high school. Maybe it's about spending more time with her and you know, getting the chance to spend, you know, parts of the spring and other parts of the year with family. I don't know. We don't know. He hasn't put out any statements yet. The Giants haven't announced it yet as of, you know, early Monday, so we'll see. But I was taken aback by it for sure for two reasons. One, because we just didn't see it coming, but also because that defensive staff for James Franklin has been together for a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, the for him, I mean, that's just an opportunity that you can't pass up. And it's interesting to just look at some of these, you know, line coaches in particular, defensive line coaches, when you're in sort of a niche position group that you coach, what is the upward mobility of that position? And defensive line coaches, right or wrong, just kind of get pigeonholed a lot of the time, and that's pretty much what their title is going to be. Now, if we don't really know much about Sean Spencer's ambitions as a coach and whether he wants to climb the ladder and be a coordinator and be a head coach, this would be a path in the right direction. But it's also, as you mentioned, something that gets him out of that nonstop recruiting grind, which I'm sure is something that he and his family can appreciate. It's not like you're going from Penn State to a 15-hour week job. You are still going to be working like crazy, but at least the off season, there's actually some off season
right
there. And it's a big move for him. We've seen, you know, I think to your point, defensive line coaches from the NFL ranks can come back to the college ranks as a coordinator. That is something that can definitely happen. You know, I'm reminded not that long ago, the San Francisco 49ers last night losing in the Super Bowl, but it wasn't that long ago that they hired Jim Tomasula, their defensive line coach, as their head coach. It was a disaster.
Right.
It should have never happened.
Yeah. Right.
But he was so beloved that, and so welcomed in the locker room, they went for it. It only lasted a year. But that kind of it kind of opens up your eyes to what maybe the possibilities are for Spencer.
No question. Do you have any Super Bowl takes quick before we continue that conversation?
There are a lot of guys on the Kansas City team that you're happy for.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Mahomes seems like like the real deal, kind of a sincere, authentic guy, a mega talent for sure. And obviously Andy Reid.
Yeah, that's basically where I was with it too.
Anybody from this part of the state can recognize that Andy Reid is he might be a flawed character, but he's a beloved character around here. I think just across the country, people see Andy Reid. People know what he's been through. People know how good of a coach he is, but at the same time, how he's been defined by missteps to this point in his career, and he finally gets there.
Yeah, I've been right on the same page as you. It was nice to see him finally sort of cement a legacy that should have been cemented anyway, but certainly puts the cherry on top when you finally win a Super Bowl. So back to the regularly scheduled conversation. I think that so you look at Sean Spencer's coaching bio, and there's clearly been so many guys that he developed at multiple schools, you know, not just Penn State, not just Vanderbilt. But, you know, Coach Chaos look, here's the resume. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, Massachusetts, Holy Cross, Villanova, Hofstra, UMass, Bowling Green, and then, of course, Vanderbilt and Penn State. So, you know, and all of those spots, he was a defensive line coach, a linebackers coach. He had some special teams coordinator experience at one point when he was at UMass. But, you know, it's one thing to develop guys and have them produce at a high level. And again, if that's all you want to be and that's all you want to do, then fine. Then that's good enough. But, you know, again, if you do want to make it to the NFL ranks one, or the coordinator ranks one day, or if you have ideas of being a head coach one day at the age of 49, you probably better get moving on that. And one way to do that would be to have a couple of successful years in the NFL and then maybe come back to the college ranks or stay in the NFL ranks either way. But again, we just don't know at this point what was the biggest motivating factor. We can only assume.
Here's what we do know, though. If you look at the messages that came out from players that he has coached over the years, a lot of these guys on the current roster talking about the impact that he has had on their life just in a non-football capacity. And you connect the dots, and I think one of the big things about coaching, no matter what your job title is the ability to connect, you know, in the case of Penn State, with kids who are 18 to 22 years old. Sean Spencer has shown the ability to connect in what seems to be a pretty special way. And losing him, you know, beyond the football field just seemed like a big blow to just Penn State's chemistry as a team, as a whole organization. And you know, I think he's going to be missed as far as that goes. And I think the other part of it is, you know, we've had quite a bit of coaching turnover on the staff from the beginning of the offseason to now. Do you have any concerns about, you know, that in general, to have a new offensive line coach, to have a new defensive line coach, new wide receivers coach, new offensive coordinator? It's as much turnover as we've seen in the James Franklin era. And I think to a certain extent, a head coach in the college football ranks is kind of defined by how they hire. Now, we'll get into Franklin's hiring history, but this is going to be a big and different test for him.
Well, I think it's another chance to upgrade. So I feel like you can very easily make the argument that they upgrade it with Phil Troutwine over Matt Limegrover. Nothing against Matt, but clearly they need it. They were looking for something different there. They would have renewed Limegrover's contract otherwise. And Troutwine has experience and past player accolades to back up what he does and what he's able to keep to coach. So I think you make a good step forward there. I have a really hard time defining Ricky Ronnie at this point, because the numbers say one thing and what you watch with your eyes say another thing. And so I do think that with Kirk Ciarrocca, they'll bring a more disciplined style of football, maybe is the way to put it, to that offense and have a little bit more.
Simplified is an interesting concept for this offense.
Yeah, conviction in their concepts, I think, would be one way of looking at it. He's going to do what he wants to do, and he's going to do what we've talked a lot about with Penn State has struggled to do, and that is enforce its will on opponents, instead of James Franklin coming into the post-game news conference and saying, yeah, you know, they had a great game plan, they executed against us really well, but he never really says that in the reverse fashion, especially for the offense. So I think they make an upgrade there. The question when I think it comes to Sean Spencer and upgrading with him is, number one, the guy you pick better be a people person, because there are going to be some walls to break down in that defensive line room with guys who love Sean Spencer, wanted to play for nobody but Sean Spencer, came to Penn State for the sole reason of playing for Sean Spencer, and now they're going to get a different message, and you just never know how guys will react to that. So I think that's a key component of it. And also, you know, there were, I know there were some people that probably won't love this opinion, but how many times did the best players not show up in the biggest moments over the last 6 years from that defensive line? I mean, there were times when, you know, you look back at Garrett Sickles, the second half of the Ohio State game, there's some other performances, but there was also a lot of times when those big sack, you know, numbers that they would pile up, they piled them up against lesser competition. And when it came down, when it came time to pressure Ohio State or pressure a Michigan State on the road or Michigan, more often than not, it didn't happen. Now, I don't know if that's player related more than coach related, but let's not forget either how many big time regional defensive line targets Penn State missed out on in the last 6 years. I mean, the list is fairly considerable, and some of those guys are now playing for, played for playoff berth and things like that. So I think that, you know, they do have a chance to make a step forward here. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I'm, trying to lessen what I think Sean Spencer did at Penn State, because I think he did a lot, but you look for some areas and ways to improve, and those are a few of them.
I mean, to your point, it's not impossible to upgrade. That's the moral of the story, that Sean Spencer has had a big impact at Penn State, but it's not impossible to upgrade with the hiring of a different coach. And I think, you know, in two of those cases, a coordinated offensive line coach, I think they did upgrade. So I don't think that's a big thing. I wanted to – we only got about a minute or so, but – two preferred walk-ons this past week, and you're looking at guys who had not high-level FBS offers or anything, but these guys had legitimate scholarship offers of other schools. George French, who's a 6'8", 300-pound offensive lineman from Bethlehem Catholic, and Jake Wilson, who's 6'3", 225 or so, a defensive end from Nazareth. These are really interesting additions. Penn State has gotten more from lesser walk-ons over the years. Yeah. So, yeah, and not that these guys are going to be the lifeblood of the program or anything, but you can go back and look at the Carl Nassibs and the Jan Johnsons and say maybe these guys have a shot to make a similar sort of trajectory.
No question. I think anytime you can get these guys in who have the Ivy League offers and some of the lower level FBS or high level FCS offers, you get them into your program as walk-ons. Obviously, they're not bad football players because they were coveted by some schools and at lower levels that really they could probably be stars on those teams. But some guys, and Jan Johnson will always be a great example, and so will some others. Carl Nassib, for example, will want to come and pay their way and fight for a chance to maybe earn a scholarship, but if not, make a name for themselves at a school that, in a lot of ways, these kids grow up dreaming of playing for Penn State. And for Penn State, it gets you quality players in the program that don't count against your scholarship chart, which is never a bad thing.
And I think Penn State has shown over the years that they are as willing as anybody to give walk-on players scholarships at some point in their careers. There were a bunch of examples this past year. We're going to move on. We're still going to talk Penn State coaching staff, look at the history of James Franklin hiring new coaches. That's coming up right after this.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.